He said, son, have you seen the world? Well, what would you say if I said that you could just carry this gun? You'll even get paid. I said, that sounds pretty good. Black leather boots, spit shine so bright. They cut off my hair, but it looks alright. We marched and we sang, we all became friends as we learned how to fight. A hero of war, yeah, that's what I'll be. And when I come home, they'll be damn proud of me. I'll carry this flag to the grave if I must, 'cause it's a flag that I love and a flag that I trust. I kicked in the door, I yelled my commands. The children, they cried, but I got my man. We took him away, a bag over his face, from his family and his friends. They took off his clothes, they pissed in his hands. I told them to stop, but then I joined in. We beat him with guns and batons, not just once, but again and again. A hero of war, yeah, that's what I'll be. And when I come home, they'll be damn proud of me. I'll carry this flag to the grave if I must, 'cause it's a flag that I love and a flag that I trust. She walked through bullets and haze. I asked her to stop, I begged her to stay, but she pressed on. So I lifted my gun and I fired away. And the shells jumped through the smoke and into the sand that the blood now had soaked. She collapsed with a flag in her hand, a flag white as snow. A hero of war, is that what they see? Just medals and scars, so damn proud of me. And I brought home that flag, now it gathers dust, but it's the flag that I love, it's the only flag I trust. He said, son, have you seen the world? Well, what would you say if I said that you could?
Hello and welcome to Great Speeches and Interviews on Access Sacramento and The Voice. I'm Steve Lerman, and you can hear us at accesssacramento.org, or you can go to greatspeechesandinterviews.blogspot.com, or you can friend this program at Facebook. Today's program includes David K. Johnson interview. Terrence McNally, journalist and radio host, interviews David K. Johnson, Pulitzer Prize-winning journalist and author. David K. Johnson worked as an investigative reporter for several newspapers. He's the author of two bestsellers, Perfectly Legal and Free Lunch. And then after that, Scott Horton interviews the other Scott Horton. The other Scott Horton discusses the protest letter signed by top U.S. legal scholars, including Obama's law professor at Harvard, about Bradley Manning's illegal and immoral conditions of detainment, how Manning is subjected to unnecessary security suicide prevention measures to punish and vilify him, and the U.S. refusal to allow a private meeting between Manning and the U.N. representative on torture.
So the tax system has broken down because of the changes that we've made, and the Republican answer to this is the same answer that George Washington's doctors applied to him when he got sick. You know, they bled him.
Exactly.
He didn't get better, they bled him more, and they ultimately bled him to death. Well, that's what the Republican policy is. The governments are, for a reason we're not growing, is taxes are too low. Let's cut them for the rich and cut them for the rich and cut them for the rich. And as this is happening, the economy keeps getting worse off, because it is not true that high taxes destroy jobs. Low taxes destroy jobs by encouraging owners of businesses to withdraw money from the business.
I hadn't even thought about that. Okay. In other words, that's that whole small business owner kind of thing that is the
right.
Sort of the hallowed group that they claim they represent.
Right. And remember that most small businesses, and I'm chairman of the board of a very small business, a couple million dollars of revenue, don't pay taxes. They don't make a profit. They are designed not to earn a profit. They are intended to draw down to zero so they pay no tax or maybe even have negative income and have losses. And if the owners want to take money, they take the money out of it as their personal income. Or they put it in their retirement plan, or they take it out by leasing cars and things. We don't do that. We're not big enough.
But the goal of your accountants is to zero you out at the end of the year.
That's right. Unlike a publicly traded company where the goal is to report the biggest profits you can to pump up the stock price. And at the same time, pay no taxes, like GE has not done. There are many companies that have year after year after year actually made money off the tax system because of the rules.
Right. Now, by the way, I want to tell people that's the voice of David K. Johnston. To me, the reigning expert on taxes in this country, author of Perfectly Legal and Free Lunch, and you can read his work. You're putting something new up there every few days?
No, I write a column at tax.com about every 2 weeks.
About every 2 weeks, and that's at tax.com.
I don't put all of them up there because this is a different journalism model. It is non-advertising. It's paid. It's non-profit. It's financed entirely with subscriptions. And it is very unusual in that there's no ideology of any kind.
Right.
The editor who runs one of the publications that I write for at tax.com regularly in his weekly, you know, here's what's in our 250 pages of journalism this week, you know, expresses his deep skepticism about what I have to say, but he never disputes that they're going to publish what I have to say.
Very good. And so you just, because most of what you said there in why the tax system is broken dealt with individuals, and we just got into corporations, and I am going to indulge myself here 1 second and read a little bit from the this is actually on rich taxpayers. Let me just do this. The Wall Street Journal, on the 22nd, I'm sure you saw this. IRS targets rich taxpayers, audit rates up 80%. The rich not only face calls for higher taxes, this is the Wall Street Journal, they also face more audits to make sure they pay. And it turns out that the IRS in the last year increased its audits. What I love is the end of this brief article, which I'll allow you to comment on in a second, but it says, it is unclear how much revenue the new effort has managed to snag, but at a time when government is increasing need of funds, the audits of the 10 million plus crowd are likely to continue rising as if the spending on the audits is going to break the government. And then the question at the end of this article is, do you think the new task force is welcome tax justice or capricious wealth redistribution?
Right. Well, first of all, the IRS's capacity to audit is wholly inadequate. In the late 1980s, if you were a high-income taxpayer, your odds of being audited were about 1 in 11. They've been as low in recent years as 1 in 400. They're currently a little under 1 in 100, probably about 1 in 75. If you're in the 10 million up crowd, your odds are much higher. They're more like 1 in 6. But the audit rates are still very low, and many of these audits are, and I say this having interviewed dozens and dozens of IRS agents who aren't supposed to talk to me, all over the country, spent a lot of the New York Times' money and my own money to go, you know, meet people. They're superficial, and they're told not to pursue things. And, you know, when I broke the story, boy, this was in 2004, of the backdated stock option scandal. I didn't pursue it, unfortunately. The Wall Street Journal did and won a Pulitzer Prize for it, but I broke that story. The IRS agent who stumbled across this, they were going to prosecute her. You know, and in my book, Free Lunch, I say, you know, no, we should erect the investors of America should erect a statue in honor of this woman, Remy Welling, up in Cupertino, for what she did. And the whole system came down in her head simply because she said, I'm not going to do something improper. I'm not going to stand by and look the other way and let you let this company get away now and forever with a crime. And the whole government came down her head against you as an investor and you as an honest taxpayer.
Because she was actually putting some muscle and enforcement behind the word audit.
That's right.
Yeah.
And also, you know, we had the guy in San Francisco was the guy with a stellar, like, 30-year career at the IRS who was put in charge of collection. And he announced as soon as he was put in charge that they were going to go after the elite and the politically connected with the same fervor they were going after Joe Sixpack. And I tell about cases he went after, and he was gone after. He was literally put in a room with no windows and no computer and told to sit there for day after day after day. And they mucked up a charge to go after him because there was some pornography in his computer. Well, if anybody remembers back 10 years ago, you could just open an email and suddenly have all sorts of pornography exploding on your computer.
That's right, yeah.
Yeah, and they went after him over this. Plus, he had to... He'd used his computer to help one of his subordinates find an inexpensive airfare. For this, we should undo a 30-year career and discharge you in disgrace because it's such a serious misuse of the government's equipment.
Well, it's interesting. There's some muscle in that audit.
Right.
In their audit of him.
Right. And the people that he went after, I was able to show, he didn't tell me this, was able to dig out the public record, were the family of former Mayor Alioto of San Francisco, and Al Davis, the owner of the Raiders, and then a case involving Russian diamond smugglers that apparently the CIA and other national security apparatus had a deep interest in making sure no one from the tax department mucked around in what they were doing for reasons that have never been clear.
Talk a little bit more about corporations. This previous Sunday on 60 Minutes, they did a report on corporations fleeing the United States to avoid taxes. And one of the things they showed was how a number of companies have located in Zug, Switzerland. One of them was Transocean, the company that owned the oil rig in the Gulf oil spill, claimed that they were located in there. And the point that they're doing is, and this is one of the strategies that GE has used to pay no taxes, is that they push their profits wherever they may. For instance, a patent, they'll put the patent in Zug, Switzerland, or they'll put the software that brings them much of their income in Ireland, the 12.5%. Talk a little bit about corporate maneuvers.
Well, first, it's important to know the 60 Minutes piece actually sort of defended this and treated corporations as sort of victims who had no choice but to do this, which I was somewhat troubled by.
Yeah, let me just tell people, if you haven't seen it, it's available. You can see it on the website over at CBS. But yeah, the guy who seems to get the most empathetic treatment is a fellow from Cisco who says, you know, we have to do it. We owe it to our shareholders, and the tax rate in the corporate tax rate in the U.S. is too high.
Yes, and none of this is new. I mean, in fact, my Pulitzer was for exposing this kind of stuff more than 10 years ago. What's changed, if anything, is the skill at marketing the idea that corporations are being abused. Now, we have made a decision to have this global multinational corporate environment. And having made that decision, certain things are going to flow from it. One of them we're seeing is falling wages. As I sometimes tell audiences, the most generous people in the history of the world are American blue-collar factory workers who have given up their opportunity to get into the solidly into the middle class so that the rural poor of China can have a better life. And these companies have all figured out the same thing on the international scale that the multinational, nationwide companies have figured out on the U.S. scale. You take your profits in Delaware if you're a national company, and even though you earn them in New York and California and other places, and you don't pay taxes to those states, well, multinational companies, even if they're based here, you take your profits in Zug, Switzerland, and Liechtenstein, and the Cayman Islands, and Bermuda, and you get all the benefits of being in the United States and also other countries. I mean, this is going on in Western Europe. It's a big problem there. It is less of a problem in Japan, but it is growing as a problem there. There was an effort more than 10 years ago by all the big industrial countries to do something called harmonizing their tax systems so that they would all agree to ignore transactions that were just designed to escape taxes. The Bush administration, one of its very first acts was to kill this. And
what did they kill? They killed the
effort of the big industrial countries to say we're all going to get the.
Oh, I see.
We will not pay attention to tax dodges that are run through these parasitic countries like the Cayman Islands. You know, one out of every five banking deposits in the world is in the Cayman Islands, except there's nothing there.
Right.
It's just on paper. They're all in London and New York and Paris and Los Angeles. There's nothing in the Cayman Islands. That was the part of the thing that was shown on the 60 Minutes piece that one of the big companies, Weatherford, which is a $10 billion a year company, all it does is occasionally pay rent for a room they don't even go to.
So that's right.
They have an address in Zug, Switzerland.
I mean, it's like the folks here who have a mailbox as their corporate address because they don't really have a company.
Exactly the same thing. And so what's happened is that we have allowed corporations to set the agenda. Instead of corporations being the servant of everyone, they are an effective, efficient means to run companies and build wealth. We have instead made the entity our ruler. And there's a whole variety of things we're doing, aren't just taxes. I mean, you know that much of the ownership of corporations is very fleeting, right? People own hedge funds will own a stock sometimes for seconds.
Right.
And trade in and out of it. So that the employees who expect to work there for years and the customers who rely on the company for years are given no voice or authority, but people whose ownership lasts for, and sometimes literally seconds, have a greater voice. And by treating these entities as being special and as if we're dependent on these entities, we now allow them to do things pretty much as they want. So they say, you know, I don't like the tax system in the U.S. We're going to create all our jobs offshore. We're going to sell our products and our services in the U.S. We're going to take our products, our profits offshore, and we're going to get all the benefits of the American market, but we're not going to share in the burdens. And the inevitable result of that is what we are seeing. We are pushing the burden of taxes down the income ladder to the point where, for example, today in every one of the states, the poorest fifth of families bears a heavier tax burden at the state and local level than the top 1% of families. And at the federal level, a worker who makes the median wage, $26,000, half of all workers make more than that, half make less, pays a heavier burden than the top 400 taxpayers who make almost $1 million a day. And then on top of that, we have all these people who operate through another kind of entity who live tax-free. There are literally people who have made billion-dollar incomes year after year in America and pay no taxes legally. They're called hedge fund managers.
They pay no taxes on that?
That's right. You keep reading the newspapers that they pay
capital gains? Or
that they pay a 15% capital gains rate, but they only pay that when they cash out.
Oh! And if so, that's how you make your living, you don't cash out. By the way, it's the same thing with
borrow. And if you do need money, if you've got $9 billion in your account, and we know John Paulson made $9 billion in just the last 2 years alone, just go to your banker and say, hey, I need to borrow $300 million. And he loans it to you at a super cheap interest rate, currently less than 2%.
Right. And the corporations, there's also a rule similar to that, right, that they all have money that they are, profit that they haven't even taken out, that are sitting overseas, that they say, we would bring them back and help the American economy if we didn't have to pay any taxes on them. Talk about that one.
Well, yes. The assertion that if they didn't pay any taxes, they'd be better off is a driving force of this. And I can't tell you how many blue-collar workers and office workers who have told me that their boss has said to them that if he or she does not get a tax cut or their company doesn't get a tax cut, they're going to cut their wages. And this is a set of false economics that we need to address. There are a lot of ways to solve this. So let me go to this, his solutions part of this. I was at a conference sponsored by the people who own Tax.com, this nonprofit tax analyst that for 40 years has been fighting to make the tax system transparent and fair.
And as you said, with no ideology, but just transparent and fair.
Yeah, I mean, that's our whole mission, and we publish people with a complete wide range of views every week and run one of the biggest newsrooms in Washington also. The discussion was about reforming corporate income taxes, and all the talk was about, well, let's lower the rate from 35 to 25 or 20. And I keep saying, well, listen, if you think this is complex and it's difficult, it's unfair, and I said this to the senior vice president of the U.S. Chamber of Commerce who was at the table, I said, why don't we get rid of the corporate income tax? We would have to have some rules so that executives and owners of businesses, as opposed to big publicly traded ones, you know, somebody who owns their own business, can't live off the company. We'll have to have some rules about expense accounts and, you know, travel and company cars and all that. But that's nothing compared to the complexity of what we have now. Let's just reduce it to zero. And then we'll raise the tax you pay on any money you take out of the business. And this guy neatly dodged the question saying, well, I would have to see the exact details of what you're proposing before I could comment on it. But the fact is that wouldn't be popular with business at all because they don't want to pay any taxes. There is a whole body of literature that says that the very wealthiest people should not pay any taxes because they create jobs. Now, many of them don't create any jobs at all, but that's the theory, that if you are somehow a job creator, you should get to live tax-free in the idea that you will create more jobs.
And this obviously was the argument behind renewing the Bush tax cuts that both parties went along with in December. I mean, if not zero, that we keep it low and it will create jobs. And it's pretty clear that that doesn't work because, as anyone can know, if you give money to poor people, they spend it. If you give money to state governments right now, they would spend it so fast, you know, but to give it to the very wealthy, they are choosy about when and where and how they spend it.
Again, 500.
More from great speeches and interviews after these messages.